In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During the Italo-Ethiopian conflict, Venerable Consolata begged for the military chaplains to ensure that they all remained at the height of their mission. Jesus replied on August 27, 1935, "Look, most of these soldiers, they would have been vicious in their homes. On the other hand, in war, far from the occasions, with the assistance of the chaplain, they will die and be eternally happy." He repeated the same thing regarding the economic crises that overwhelmed the world before the recent war on November 15, 1935. "The present misery that reigns in the world is not the work of my justice, but of my mercy." How many less sins for lack of money? How many more prayers are raised to heaven in financial straits? "Do not think that the pains of the earth do not move me, but I love souls. I want to save them all, and to achieve this, I am forced to use them strictly. But believe it, it is to show mercy. In abundance, souls forget me and are lost. In misery, they return to me and are saved. That's how it is." During the tremendous world conflagration, and precisely on December 8, 1940, between Jesus and Venerable Consolata, who groaned and begged for peace, the following dialogue took place. "Look, Consolata, if today I granted peace, the world would return to the mud. The endured test would not be enough." "But Jesus, all these youth are going to the slaughterhouse," Venerable Consolata Batron replied. "Isn't it better 2-3 years of bitter, intense, and unprecedented sufferings, and then an eternity of joys, than a whole life of disillusions, and then eternal damnation? Choose. Today, in order to save the world, that is necessary. How many young people will eternally give thanks to God because they perished in this war that has saved them forever? Do you understand? If I allow so much pain in the world, it is for this sole purpose, to save souls for eternity. The world was getting lost. It was running to ruin. Consolata, houses are rebuilt. Souls that are lost are not. Isn't it better to save souls and have houses ruined than to lose those eternally and save the houses?" On October 16, 1942, Jesus said to Venerable Consolata, "This year I want to be born at Christmas in all the hearts of the prisoners of the concentration camps, in all those soldiers on the battlefields, in all the wounded, in those who are in the hospitals, in all those who suffer and despair in the whole world." On August 9, 1943, Venerable Consolata heard Jesus say to her, "The greatest evil is the loss of the soul. This and only this is the true and great evil, because it lasts forever. Destroyed houses will be rebuilt, but a lost soul is lost for eternity. You must seek only my interests, the salvation of souls, and nothing else." And Venerable Consolata Batron writes, "On Ash Wednesday, 1944, I had a vision of a field with many saved soldiers, and I understood that a violent death in war had saved them for eternity, whereas if they had lived long years, most of them would have perished eternally." Venerable Consolata Batron tells us, "The devil has been attacking me for some time with a burn, a weight that falls to my foot to crush a toe. I was stirring the polenta when the bench on which I had climbed was taken from me by an invisible hand, and when I was about to fall on the cauldron and on the fire, a force pushed me back and I fell to the ground without hurting myself. A few hours later, another similar case. This time, divine intervention saved the pot of eggs and I remained unharmed." On May 22, 1936, Venerable Consolata tells us, "I have had visions of cats. The enemy tempts me with bad temptations. I made 2 signs of the cross, one on me and the other on the enemy who fled. When the enemy tries to scare me in the night with bad dreams, I do the sign of the cross and use holy water and go back to sleep." On March 10, 1944, Venerable Consolata tells us, "The other night, I dreamed of a cat with goat's wool which entered or wanted to enter my house at all costs. I picked up the broom and started hitting him. I managed to take him out. The demon, that is the cat, raised a lot of dust and left many tufts of wool. Then obscene scenes came to my mind, but the demon had been expelled, and I only had to clean the room with the incessant act of love. Jesus told her, "Consolata, one day the devil swore to destroy you, and I to save you. Who has won? He has also sworn to destroy the world, and I swear to save it, and I will save it with the triumph of my mercy and my love. Yes, I will save the world with merciful love. Write this down." To attract me to Jesus, he only used love, and the tenderness of his love was repeated at the foot of the tabernacle, as if it was chaining me to the little door of the tabernacle, and above all, when I could contemplate him in the custody of the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, then the hours seemed like minutes with my gaze fixed on the host. From 1918 onwards, the communions were daily. Also in those moments, Jesus conquered my heart with sensitive sweetnesses, which lasted until the consummation of the host. That is why until I was 21 years old, I used to have the host glued to the palate to make it last longer. In those moments, I felt enveloped in a light of love. I could not live without communion, and it was the host and only the host who preserved me from committing serious sins. In those years, from the taste I felt in communion, I would have been able to distinguish the consecrated host from the one that was not. On April 22, 1934, Jesus was solemnly exposed and told me, "Consolata, I confirm you in grace regarding your purity, and I will never let you fall into that sin. I leave you the fight for purity because I do not want to deprive you of many merits." The Virgin advised me never to expose myself to any danger, and she bound me with a vow to be faithful. For this reason, when the rebellion of the senses was strong, the only means that I had and continue to have is trust and abandonment in Jesus and Mary. Jesus was happy to reveal some of his secrets to me. When Jesus entered my cell from the painting of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he received me with a smile. There I found Jesus and felt him more in the cell than in the choir. And when we didn't know what to say to each other, we both laughed. My life was a smile, not only in the cell, but also when we were in the choir, or in the dining room, or in the garden, or in the cloisters, or looking at the blue of the sky. Jesus's smile enveloped me. He was smiling at me, and I at him. When my father died, I immediately asked St. Joseph to replace him, and since then, this dear saint has become my father and protector. When I was distressed because my father was in purgatory and Jesus did not want to release him until the Hallelujah of Holy Saturday, St. Joseph told me that he was telling Jesus, and that my father would come out of purgatory on Good Friday. He kept his promise, and on Good Friday, during Mass in a quick vision, I saw my father released from pain and leave purgatory. When my father was released from purgatory, he appeared to me all happy, accompanied by my brother-in-law, Teresa's husband, whose name was Teresio. My father spoke to me in dialect and told me that he was going to heaven. He thanked me for my prayers and he told me, "Ciao, Pierina, I will pray for you," and he disappeared. On the night of May 16, 1940, I dreamed of Teresio, my brother-in-law who had died unexpectedly at the age of 33. He appeared to me happy and said, "Pierina, I have come to greet you because we will not see each other again until you enter paradise." As relatives, we kissed each other and Teresio disappeared. About her brother-in-law Teresio, the Venerable Consolata Bertrone wrote, "He was a straight soul towards God and towards men. He would have preferred to die rather than break his word, and this righteousness was sculpted on his face and was the engine of all his actions. For this, he was loved and cried over by everyone." One day, Venerable Consolata was thinking about Teresio and why he had gone so fast to heaven. She says, "He appeared to me and has gotten me many graces, and if I pray to him, he immediately comes as if he were a great saint. What did he do on earth? Nothing extraordinary. Like all men, he had enjoyed and worked, accepting the problems of life, but not fasting. Jesus gave me to understand that he had kept the commandments, and he had immediately given him paradise." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.